Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dolores Mwamba, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, here in the United States of America, on Blog Talk Radio, on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. Well, today it's a special broadcast because we are getting into the study of the Word of God in the book of Romans. And so wherever you are, I did send a message to all the students that we're going to be looking in the book of Romans. We're going to study the Word of God. We're going to grow in the things of God. I know the students have been dealing with you and teaching the book of John. And I did tell you that Elder Mrs. Mwamba will be taking you in the book of Romans. But we decided to make a joint effort and start to take you in the book of Romans, both of us. So Sunday is like this. Today, it's me. I'm taking you in the book of Romans. And then we might have a joint service together with her, Mrs. Mwamba, and take you in the book of Romans. And so I can encourage you to just relax and be set and just get ready for this study as we look into the book of Romans. And as you know, you see, when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, it was written in such a way that it's like a lawyer's book. Many of the commentators and many of the people who have tackled this book, they'll tell you very clearly that it's like a book written in the language of law. You know, you have the language that's very much like the language of law. That's what the book of Romans is. It gets you to fully understand. It gets you to get to the basics of our Christian faith. Now, who wrote the book of Romans? The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans to a group of people who were in Rome. Now, it has been looked at that people and theologians don't really know exactly who started the church at Rome. You see, it wasn't so much like the Apostle Paul started the church at Rome. The reason being that there were many people who were coming from Rome, and they would come and be involved in the festivities that were taking place in Jerusalem. And as they came for these festivities, they would go back to Rome. And it's believed that believers got together in Rome and they decided to start a fellowship. Excuse me. It's very important for you to realize that the way God starts a fellowship, the way God starts a church, He will start a church through home fellowships. That's why home fellowships are very, very important. Here in the United States, I got together with my family, and we began a fellowship at one of the hotels here. This hotel, which is a big hotel, close to the Embassy Suites Hotel, we were there for like 3 Sundays, and we were paying $200 a day for meeting on Sunday. You see, we had run a marathon of 200 miles an hour, I might say, and went into a hotel. There were only 5 of us, family members, me, my wife, and the kids. My wife was the announcer of the program, and then we had our daughter would read the scriptures, and then we had another son who would help to lead in singing. And then I came on to preach. But you see, we hadn't done much groundwork to make that continue, because the cost was overbearing, which was coming straight from us as a family for $200. Just imagine $200 for only a few hours on a Sunday. And so we were on this hotel, the Crown Plaza Hotel for only 3 weeks. And then we suspended it because it was just costly. There were certain rooms that were smaller in the hotel, but we didn't get to use them because we had already spent so much money so far, which was like almost $600. So you need to realize that whenever you are starting a church, it's better to get the something you can manage. Like a home is very conducive. I do believe even the church at Corinth was started in a home of a very well-to-do lady. So see, God will bless people in a city, give them an ability to do business, to be very successful. And it's those people that will open up their home, since they have the means, and let a Bible fellowship start in their home. From there, when the Bible fellowship grows, people will start to recognize that there is a church going in their home. Then you have maybe 6 members, like we started in Zambia in an elder's house. Then you grow to 10. Then suggestions begin to come, even from the members who are in that particular fellowship. Then you move out into an actual building, and you start to invite more people, and your church grows. The Bible says when you read in Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19, it says, whatsoever the two of you shall agree upon as touching, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Therefore, he says, pray one for another. For where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What does that mean? What that means simply is that wherever 2 or 3 are gathered in the name of the Lord, there the presence of the Lord is. There the church of the Lord is. So we need to realize this very important thing, that the church is not just mainly having 10,000 members, but the church is having even 2 or 3. As you begin in the house fellowship, you grow and you become a dynamic body of Christ. So in this book of Romans, we are seeing the basics being laid down by the Apostle Paul as regards the needs for what we call redemption. The need for redemption, okay? What you say, Bishop Mamba, what is redemption? Redemption, it simply means to be redeemed. What is to be redeemed? To be redeemed means to buy back. When you are redeemed, you are bought back. Say, Bishop Mamba, bought back from what? You are bought back from the devil's plans and the devil's schemes to try and destroy your life. And so I'd like us to look in the Word of God right now, and we shall look at Romans and chapter 1. If you have the Bible with you, please turn to Romans chapter 1. All the students who are listening in right now, turn to Romans and chapter number 1. And there I'm going to begin to read the scriptures. Hear the word of the Lord. Romans 1 and verse number 1. Listen to what the Bible says. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. King James Version of the Bible. Listen. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 2. Which he had promised afore or before time by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, this was a salutation Paul is giving to the church at Rome. He's giving them this salutation, and then he says, in verse 7, that's the salutation, the greeting. All that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying grace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 8. Now, you see, Paul had never been to this particular church in Rome. Now, he's writing them to remind them that he looks forward to be at Rome. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I save with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. So here the Apostle Paul, he had never been to Rome, and he was desiring to visit the church at Rome so he can impart unto him a spiritual blessing. Now we have a theme, the theme of the book of Romans, which is in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So if you read with me from verse 16, that's the theme. Listen to the word of God. This theme is said in verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what is written? The just shall live by faith. So I want you to realize one thing. Very importantly, that the book of Romans is mainly a book that reveals how the state of mankind. And you know, scriptures are what I might call ageless. By ageless, I mean they are not defined to a particular period of time in scripture or in the life of the people anywhere in the world. Scriptures are timeless in the sense that scriptures will work anywhere at any given time through the ages that God has placed around the world. Now, I have a summary here in my Bible which I would like us to look at. It's a summary of the book of Romans, and this is a summary done by Dr. Dex. The Bible I use is an annotated Bible by Jennings Dex. It talks about date and place of the writing of this particular epistle. When I say epistle, I mean a letter. Listen to what Dr. Dex says. This book was written, he says, the sixth of Paul's letters, written from Corinth about 58 to 60 AD and sent to Rome by Phoebe. We see that in Romans 16, verse 1. Now you say, who was Phoebe? Phoebe was a deaconess at the Corinthian church. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, he wrote it from Corinth and sent it by the hand of a deaconess whose name is Phoebe. Now you can see the name of Phoebe there in Romans 16, verse 1. Now, you see, the book of Romans, I've got 16 chapters, and the 16th chapter is the last chapter of Romans. And listen to what is written there in verse number 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. Listen to what he says. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. Now, Cenchrea is Corinth, was a city on the near Corinth. That's Cenchrea. So we can see here that Corinth was, that's the place where the Apostle Paul was, and Cenchrea was the place where Phoebe was, who was given a letter to take to Rome, to the Christians at Rome. Let's go read further here. It says, written in AD 58 to 60 AD and sent to Rome by Phoebe. The author or the writer of this particular letter or epistle to the Romans is the Apostle Paul. He is an apostle to the Gentiles. Firstly, he was called Saul. We see there in Acts 8, verse 1. You see, when you read these scriptures, especially in the New Testament, when you read, the book of Romans, you read Ephesians, you read Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you need to tie these books with the book of Acts. The reason being that the book of Acts gives you the accounts of the workings of the disciples from the time that Jesus left this earth and went to heaven. The book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke. Okay? Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts, where you read the accounts, because Dr. Luke traveled with the apostles, especially the Apostle Paul, and he has accounts that he saw himself physically. He wrote the gospel according to St. Luke itself and the book of Acts. So when you read the book of Acts, you find some of these activities that take place, say, in the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and so on and so forth. They are categorized in the book of Romans. So this Saul, we can read about him in Acts 8, verse 1, Acts 9, verse 1, Acts 13, and verse 9. He was a Benjamite born in Tarsus in Asia Minor. We see that in Romans 11, verse 1, he says it himself. We also see it in Philippians 3 and verse 5. In Acts 5, verse 11, we also see his story there. Also in Acts 21 and verse 39, and Acts 22 and verse 3. He was a Pharisee, educated at Jerusalem. We see there in Acts 22, verse 3, and Acts 23, verse 6, also Acts 26, 4 to 5. He was also a Roman citizen. We see there in Acts chapter 37, and then Acts 16, 22, verse 25 to 28. He was a persecutor of the Christians before he became a Christian himself and an apostle. We see that in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, and Acts chapter 8, we read there in verse number 1. Then we look at his actual conversion in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Acts 22, verse 4, and also in Galatians 1 and verse 1. In fact, the whole Galatians there, and also we see in Philippians 3, verse 6, and also in 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. He was a convert to Christ, Acts 9, verse 1 to 17, becoming a preacher and writer of the gospel and giving us our clearest concept of Christianity, the 9, verse 19 and 29. In Galatians 1, verse 11 to Galatians 2, verse 1, and then 2 Peter 3, 15, for his history. If you want to know more about this apostle, you can see Acts chapter 8 to 28. He talks a lot of his evangelistic travel, his ministry in Asia Minor, and how that he faced persecution himself, and how that he established the churches, and you can find his teachings in these episodes. We see here he wrote 14 epistles. He wrote epistles from the book of Romans to the book of Hebrews.
Now, the theme of this particular book we are reading, the book of Romans we are studying, is first in order of the epistles. It's a doctrinally set epistle in canonical order, and rightly so, for it tends the ABCs of Christian education. So this particular epistle is very important to us because it gives us the doctrine of salvation. It gives us the ABCs of Christian life. So if you want to know how to become a Christian, if you want to know what it takes to be a Christian, you need to study the book of Romans. Until each lessons are learned, we are ignorant of true Christian principles. It is the very foundation of church teaching, and if we are wrong in understanding here, we shall be wrong elsewhere. So you can see the very importance of this particular book. It's the foundation of Christianity. It's the foundation of the Christian church doctrine. If you are wrong with the book of Romans, you're going to be wrong everywhere else. So it's very important that the way you learn and study the book of Romans, you follow the precepts set and follow the proper doctrinal order. Doctrine just simply means teaching about the beliefs of the Christian community and church universal. If you get your doctrine wrong here, you got everything wrong everywhere. So it's very important for you to know that, okay? It's a canonical book. To be canonical means it is approved as the Holy Scriptures. Each lessons are learned from here. It is the foundation of the Christian teaching. And then we see the great theme is the revelation of God's wrath against the sin and the righteousness through faith as the grounds of justification. Now, there are terminologies we'll get to in the book of Romans, like justification and righteousness. Now, righteousness is when you stand before God holy. Actually, righteousness is a term I can simply explain by saying you'll be there wearing the very righteousness of God. When a person becomes a Christian, they put on the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of Christ. Righteousness simply means without sin. When something is righteous, is deemed righteous, it's without sin. So righteousness simply means without sin. So this book of Romans explains what this righteousness is and how we get it. Now, from the offset, you need to realize that the righteousness that we Christians receive from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ is imputed righteousness. That means it's given to us. To impute means to give somebody something freely. It's given to us freely by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, Dr. Dex here talks also of the justification. Now, like I said, those are some terminologies we need to understand. What is justification? Justification also simply said, it's just like the way it says it. Justification, just as if you have not sinned. That's justification. Just as if you have not sinned. It's very important to realize that God wants you to be justified. If you are not justified, listen to me. Know that you're not headed for heaven, you are headed for hell. You got to be justified, just as if you see, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why the Apostle Paul here, I read that scripture to you in the book of Romans in chapter 1, verse 16. He says, for the gospel, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and then to the Greeks, and to the Gentiles. Now, to be justified, you have to be saved. You have got to experience the experience of salvation. Now, salvation means you are saved from eternal damnation. Now, what is eternal damnation? Eternal damnation, simply spoken, is that if you are not saved on these principles we are studying, you are headed for hell. You never see God forever. If you are not born again, you will never be a child of God. You will never see the eye of God, and you are headed for hell, for destruction. And you'll be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. You say, Bishop Mwamba, this is too strong. Well, you might say it is too strong, but that's what the scripture says. That anybody, when you read the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 15, it says, whosoever name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. Now, what is the book of life? The book of life is a book where all those who receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior for salvation, their names are written in the book of life. The book of life is a book that God has kept, which he has kept names of those who have been born again and become children of God. And those whose names are in that book are never ever going to experience death in hell. Well, you see, for today, we're going to stop there, and then we shall continue our study in the book of Romans. But in the meantime, we are going to stop there, and then we'll continue later with our study in Romans. I have a broadcast coming up on what we call Talk Show Community Call. Just go to Larry Mwamba, to Bishop Mwamba on Talk Show, and you're going to get my broadcast. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, signing off on this broadcast and telling you we'll be with you again tomorrow with teachings in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. God bless you, and bye-bye, all Bible school students. Check me out on Facebook, where I'll be teaching on our thread. God bless you and bye-bye. God bless you and bye-bye.